Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. This is the story about a boy whose parents are murdered right in front of him, and he vows revenge against the one who did it. That's right, it's Batman. I mean, no, we're talking about Deadly Class because we got tons of great stuff to talk about. Sci-fi's newest series, very dark, very sexy, and definitely has a lot of intrigue. We're going to be breaking down Marcus's backstory, the intro to King's Dominion, all the clicks, and the Black Arts assignment. Let's talk about it right after this.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome to... Deadly Class After Show! We are talking about Season 1, Episode 1, The Pilot. And I am your host, Stephen Lemieux, tonight, moderating the panel for this season. But I could not do it alone because I have three classmates here that are ready for murder, ready for intrigue, and ready to talk about this great new show on sci-fi. Joining me to my left, I have Raven French.
Hello, After Buzzers. Nice
and
to be here.
To her left, you may have seen her today on our watch along, Angelica Trey.
Hello, everybody.
And you know her from the anime after show all around the place at AfterBuzz TV, from Soul Eater to everything else. We have Veronica Valencia.
Hey, everyone. Nice intro. Thank you.
I feel like I really let Raven down with it, though, because I had, like, a tee up for you guys. You may know her with the Saya cosplay,
okay,
killing it right now, Raven French.
Hello again.
There we go.
Thank you.
Everybody on the same level. We're talking all about it, guys. We're going to break down the episode with Marcus' backstory, the intro to King's Dominion, all the clicks and some of the characters, and then we're going to talk about the Black Arts assignment before we get into kind of a little bit of craziness with Saya and not really know what's going on. But also, we have a special segment because, let me tell you, Veronica has been reading Deadly Class, the official graphic novel.
Nice.
This big boy right here.
And I want to know how closely it resembles the TV show, and I think you want to know that as well. I would hope you would want to know that as well. And our special segment today is the Comic Corner with Veronica Valencia, so make sure you're staying tuned for that. And we also got some news and gossip with our own Raven French. But before we get into all of that, I want to know overall thoughts on the episode. You go ahead first, Veronica.
Yeah. I mean, this is my third time watching this pilot. I'll be perfectly honest. I had seen it twice at a couple of conventions before they sent out the link. And then when they sent out the link, I was like, perfect. So, I mean, when I saw it, I fell in love with it because it was just so different. I love comics, and I love the fact that besides maybe The Walking Dead, there's a comic series out there that's not about superheroes. Far from it, actually. And so I just love the characters and the story and how we're going to explore this like gray area of it all.
Down with it. What about you, Angelica?
I loved it. I've seen the pilot twice now, and it started off, it's just such a strong start to a season. I'm really excited to see what they keep doing with it. It's dark, but they managed to keep levity somehow in the show, so I'm really enjoying it.
Cool. And Raven?
I would have to agree. I also saw it twice, and I was telling Veronica earlier that I'm new to this. I'm new to all the sci-fi, and I did not know
murder.
It was... yeah. I did not know that Deadly Class was literal.
No. It's actually about AP physics. The first episode's very off subject.
I mean, that's pretty deadly.
Yeah, it's talking about the apple falling from the tree and murdering people.
Yeah.
No. So
killers.
I'm gonna out myself as the terrible person on the panel who only watched the pilot once.
But see, I like seeing your reaction to it.
I like watching it with you guys. You guys are fun to watch with because you have really cool insight. I love the soundtrack so far. It's terrible because I don't know names of bands, but I recognize songs, and I'm always like, yeah. And it fits so well. I think one of my biggest complaints with a lot of shows out there now is that the composers kind of take a lot of I don't know what the word is, but they just decide that they're like, let's use this song to put my friend's band over. And the band doesn't really necessarily fit the theme. And I feel like because they set us in the 80s, obviously, we have Reagan on the TVs, we're talking about things that are set in the 80s, it only makes sense that the soundtrack would be well-known 80s songs. So overall, you guys like the soundtrack so far?
Heck yeah.
Oh yeah. Enjoying it a lot.
Okay, I don't know where you guys were in the 80s because everyone looks so young, but this music is not familiar to me at all. I think I was outside playing.
I was a soon-to-be fetus in the 80s.
Same.
Same.
Oh, 1990.
Mm-hmm. I won't even age myself. Oh.
We all know you're 22. You don't have to act like you're older than us. So let's go ahead and get into it. We're going to talk about Marcus's backstory because Marcus is, of course, our main character played by Benjamin Wadsworth, who I believe we're definitely trying to get on the show right now. Multiple of us have contacts that like know him, so we're trying to like figure it out. But I really liked his portrayal of this character so far. Obviously, it's a kind of trying to think of the whatever. Obviously, it is a character that is flawed in a lot of ways. We get his backstory that he witnessed his parents being crushed to death by a schizophrenic granny, which, you know, all of us have been there. Dark totally. Times, you know.
That's very traumatizing.
Normal yeah. 6-year-old things.
We get it.
What did you think of his portrayal of Marcus and play that against the backstory of the character?
Me?
Yes.
Say that again?
What do you think of his portrayal of Marcus put against the backstory of his character that we've been given?
I mean, I think his portrayal of Marcus has been really great. Something, I'm just throwing this out there too, is that Benjamin Wadsworth, at least from what I've seen, is fairly fresh talent, as well as a couple of other of the cast of characters here. And so I love the fact that they're getting their hands dirty with such a great role as this. And I think he has a lot to work with, but also a lot to really take into consideration, because Marcus is he's very flawed, and he's also probably, I don't want to say weaker, but he doesn't come from a lineage. He has no legacy. So he has a lot to work against. And I think that it's going to be an incredible journey to see how not only Marcus grows as a character, but how Benjamin grows with this character as an actor.
And what about you guys? So Raven, when you're looking at a character like this, did you expect this backstory? Or were you thinking it was going to be a little bit more, like maybe his parents were part of the CIA, or maybe his parents had some affiliation with like murder groups?
Again, with the newness of it and learning that all of these kids had some killer background, no.
Okay.
I did not. Everything is new. It's all new, fresh, never can expect anything.
So you're just along for the ride, kind of.
It's completely new. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I think he's doing a great job. There's and probably because he's fresh talent, there's a innocence there for him. But I still wouldn't think this was someone who saw his parents crushed. So I feel like whatever that darkness is that's there, we're going to see a lot more of it.
So, Angelica, based on this character so far, do you think that, as she said, the innocence of him, do you think it's kind of like a character that's just being dragged through life? Or do you think he's going to have, like, that ambition to actually go after, as we found out in the episode, kill Ronald Reagan? He wants to assassinate Ronald Reagan. Do you see this as a character that's motivated enough to make that happen?
I think this is definitely an underdog type story. So we're going to see some things happen to Marcus. We're going to see some craziness ensue. And we'll see if he follows through with it. I think a lot of it is going to be the journey to that. And that's a lot of the excitement. He is a very innocent character. And we're going to see him get corrupted, I believe.
Corrupted. So do we think that he's going to keep his sanity? Or do you think it's going to go the route of, like, insanity to achieve his goal?
I think he's going to go a little crazy. Yeah. I'd go a little crazy. They're all already going a little crazy.
Yeah.
So you think he'll adapt to the school and fit in terms of everyone at the school is just a little bit off?
I think as an audience perspective, we are going to think he's crazy, because even in the pilot episode, he has a drive to want to help people despite, you know, the poop fest that life has thrown him. in the fact that, like, what we see with Maria, the fact that he wants to swoop in and, like, help her from Chico. So I feel like he has a lot of drive to want to help people. And so we'll probably think that he's crazy because it's like, dude, you've gotten no training, you have no crew to watch your back, and you're going to go in full force and, like, start trouble with people.
So we're introduced to Lynn, DeLuca, right?
DeLuca.
DeLuca. Sorry, I don't have the names right in front of me. DeLuca, who's teaching the class, they're doing jiu-jitsu, and one of the first lessons they learn is to examine your opponent and find what their weakness is and exploit it. Do you feel that Marcus's weakness is the shred of humanity that he's holding on to that nobody else in this school is, or do you think that's going to be his strength while he's going through this?
I think it's going to be his strength. I think because the world probably sees these people as monsters. We already kind of see in this series that they live in a society where there are a lot of people on the lower end of the totem pole that the higher end does not pay attention to. So it's probably how the rest of the class is perceived as, you know, they're nobodies, no one cares about them. And the humanity, I think, is going to help them bring out, like, oh, you treat me as a person. I want to, like, get to know you more. And that's going to be his biggest, like, I guess, accomplishment going forward, is that he has that ability to see people as humans, not as monsters.
But that works in the regular world. I don't know if it's going to work in this school prison mentality type of place. I don't know if that's going to serve as a strength. He's already in trouble because of his heart and Maria and the black eye that he fell for, and Saya got him there just off of a kiss. I don't know.
I mean,
in the real world, he'd be sweet. He'd be like, oh, but to survive that school?
I mean, the real world's already kind of ruined him, though. I mean, his version of the real world is he's homeless in this camp where if he doesn't give up, like, almost everything that he makes, he gets a knife to his throat. I don't know. I think an interesting dynamic is we're introduced to Willie and pertaining to Marcus and how Marcus is very open with the fact that he's not who people think he is, and then Willie is putting on the front of who they think he is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marcus has only been open to Saya. He hasn't told anyone else, and that's because true. He thought he was about to die.
That's true. So Saya does know his backstory now, which is going to play into later in the season. Will she tell Benedict Wong's character, Lynn? Let's go into Lynn, actually. I really love Benedict Wong in this role.
Yes.
I think it's really good.
Yes.
It's giving me so many, like, Doctor Strange crossover vibes, but at the same time, I'm like, man, what a badass. I think we're going to see him do some really cool stuff. What do you kind of expect from this character from just the pilot, Angelica?
Well, from what we've learned so far from Lynn is that he's a very vengeful character, very much based off of sort of that moral, almost high ground of murdering people. So we're really going to see how he trains the students, how he interacts with Marcus, and then obviously some of that, you know, his situation and his relationship with Saya kind of unfold. It's going to be really interesting to see. Lynn is a really interesting character. I'm excited to follow him a lot more in this show. We'll see what happens.
What do you think, and as a panel, we can all go one by one and say, but, like, starting now at the pilot, what do you think Lynn's intentions are? Because as of my perception, he's the one who founded this deadly class. And he already got revenge on the people that he wanted revenge on. So what is this all based on his lifeblood view that, you know, people deserve to have the vengeance be put on them? Or is there some greater game that he's trying to build to against the mobsters or against the people who he's, like, taking in?
Going based solely off of the pilot, I would say he has maybe just some weird view of, like, world order, of kind of thinking, oh, you know, sure, we are killing people, but we are killing bad people, which in a sense almost kind of is an interesting point of view from an audience too, because it really tests, like, oh, yeah, they're killing people, but they're killing what is perceived as a bad person who has also killed people. And it's like, I feel like for him, it's just a weird world order thing where he wants to create balance.
So it's more about an ideology as opposed to vengeance at this point.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say so. Currently.
And there was that huge character sort of defining moment where I think he was speaking to Marcus. He said, I give the peasants the tool to overthrow...
To give the peasants the required skill to dethrone the corrupt masters.
Yes. And that, I think, is just what all of this is going to be built on and what his entire character is going to be built on.
Do you think that's any foreshadowing to him being a corrupt master that these peasants have to dethrone?
Interesting.
Because I really think it's kind of like a weird concept of absolute power corrupts absolutely. And he is in this role training these people to be murderers. And I hate to get into the whole trope that the Wanted movie got into, where Morgan Freeman started taking control of things to prevent his own demise. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen Wanted. But ruined. This movie definitely has Wanted vibes to it. Or this show has Wanted vibes to it, if you've watched it. I'd be interested to see what his greater game plan is. I'd be interested to see what Saya means to him or who she is to him. But I know we only have about 20 minutes left, so I want to go into some of the characters. Let's talk about Maria right off the bat. Raven, what's your impression of this character so far?
Her outfit is dope. I'll say that. Maria, I don't know if I like her yet. Except her clothes and makeup. But I don't know if I like... Because I like Marcus. Mm-hmm. I like it's something you just want to pinch his cheeks or something. And her manipulating him at the risk of his life, I don't know.
Okay. Angelica?
I don't know yet.
I like Maria's character. Surprisingly, I like that she kind of set the tone. I mean, between her and obviously, you know, we're talking about Maria here, but Saya did some of that as well. It's setting the tone for the show. It's showing that she's got some issues going on in that whole, the gang, the, what are they called? The
Sotovatos. Is it Sotovatos?
Sotovatos.
I have it right here. Sorry.
There's some issues going on. And you could tell there's a bit of a power play here.
She wants control.
Exactly. Mm. And I think it's setting that up. And so I really did like that her character has that single just goal. Like, you could tell she's very goal-driven, and I like that about her.
Okay. And Veronica, were you... obviously, you've read the graphic novel to a certain degree, so you kind of know what's going on to a point. And we'll go over the similarities, but the graphic novel's fairly close to the pilot at this point, correct?
Yes.
Got it. So we can't talk about too much potential things. But do you think it's right or wrong what she's doing to Marcus in this first episode?
Ooh, again, a lot of gray area. I think in a sense it's wrong because she is manipulating him to get someone else to do something for her. But I think it's kind of easy to see that her relationship with Chico is toxic. And she comes from a world where all she knows is murder. So it's not out of the ordinary for her to want to be out of a toxic relationship. And the only way to do that is to get rid of the guy. So is it wrong to be manipulated because Marcus is naive? Sure. But I understand where she's coming from, the sense she probably wants liberation from a toxic relationship. Because we saw how he treated her in this pilot.
She's not the nicest person.
And she's on those pills, so we'll get to see.
Yeah, the pills, I looked up what the pills is, Voxiprim or whatever it was. It is treating for bipolarism and migraines. So perhaps she has a cruel streak to her as well, which would be great. I mean, I think it's really cool because we've seen her in skull makeup and we've seen her in normal makeup, which I guess is kind of showing two sides to the character, and one is the incarnation of death and one is not. One is just pretty and loves to kiss Marcus in the rain. Was it raining? In my mind, it was raining.
It was dark.
So let's talk about the other characters really quick. So Willie is the gentleman who he worked with for the dark black arts thing. Willie is a pacifist.
Disappointed. Yep.
Why aren't you in the right place?
He fits in. He fits in perfectly. How do you see Willie playing into the whole dynamic with Marcus in this show?
Well, poor Willie, for one. So we found out Willie's mother put him into the school, right? So that's kind of terrible, and that's setting up Willie for failure here. I'm just surprised he got this far without being found out. He's a pacifist, so we'll see sort of what happens here. But I do like the pairing between with Willie and Marcus, since Marcus has already shown a little bit of that aggression now. He's growing into his own, but Willie seems to be very firm in his stance for pacifism.
Do you think this show will corrupt Willie? Will he maintain his pacifism?
I want to say maybe not, but I don't think he would be willing to kill. I think maybe if he has a first kill, his first kill will be out of, like, self-defense.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or accident, some freak of nature type of moment where he really didn't do it. The person tripped and fell.
I just see him, he'll probably be, like, the smarts of it. He'll, like, organize the intel and, like, make sure that they can take down whoever they want to take down. I don't know. If we're going to build, like, a super squad, I'd say, like, Willie and Marcus will be interacting a lot more. Mm-hmm. But, again, it's a pilot. You don't have much character development to go on. You just kind of have to go with what's going on. Obviously, we introduced to Billy, who's got the mohawk. Billy's a cool dude. I dig Billy a lot. I think he's going to be more of the comedic relief in the show, aside from, like, the obvious comedy. But, I mean, you see him kind of laughing about broken bones in the jiu-jitsu training. You see him kind of being the NPC guide to the game that is Deadly Class in King's Dominion. He's like, welcome, let me give you a tour. This is where we murder people. This is where you get your lunch. This is where you get a laxative and shit your pants.
Hey.
Pardon my language. But I see Willie being around for a long time. I don't see them killing him at all. Now, Victor is another character we're introduced to who just kind of becomes the butt of the laxative joke. From the previews, he seems to have a very crazy attitude towards life. Do you think we're going to get these characters interacting together for one kill, or do you think it's going to be very separate throughout the series?
I think it might be separate. I feel like our core group is going to stick together a lot. I would say Maria, Billy, Willie, Marcus, and Saya.
Okay.
And I would say, like, they would have small interactions, like, because, you know, everyone there, just based on their cliques, kind of have different skill sets. They might need to collaborate from time to time, but I feel like it would mainly focus on those five.
Well, let's talk about the cliques. The Dixie Mob, they seem like nice folks.
Stand up.
Not really. They're the white supremacists. White supremacists. Definitely not nice people. The Hessians. We brought the Hessians out of, like, okay, like, let's bring that out.
They were briefly brought up.
The Final World Order, which they said were party bombers. Does anyone have more information on kind of who is the Final World Order? Because we don't get a lot.
No.
And then we have the Kuroki Syndicate, which means it's basically Saya, who is a Yakuza. From my understanding of the show, Lin is Chinese for sure. And if it's going to be her being Yakuza, she's Japanese, so maybe they're not father-daughter, which what I kind of got the feeling from the end, but making sense more and, like, actually analyzing it doesn't seem like they are. So what do you kind of think as being the most, aside from Chico, because Chico's going to get out of the picture soon, I'm assuming, who do you think is going to be the most belligerent towards Marcus moving forward once Maria takes control of the Sotovatos?
Lin. I feel he's got an agenda. And I feel I was going to say this earlier, but I feel like right now, both Willie and Billy are going to be, like, Marcus's pillars, because he's going to obviously relate to Billy a lot because, like him, Billy doesn't have a place in this world. And, like, Willie's a pacifist, so there's a sense of humanity there and that they don't want to be murderers. So they're going, like, Marcus is already, in a very small sense, finding a place here because of the people he's starting to connect with.
Okay.
So I feel like they're going to see a sense of, like, hey, you're like me because I don't belong, and Lin has an agenda. And I feel like he'll be very forceful to get that agenda done.
I'd like to think that every clique has an agenda, though. Or do they not? Do you think these cliques have, like, things that they're doing? I feel like every one of them would have their own kind of set of rules and kind of their own thing that they're trying to get out of this deadly class at King's Dominion. But maybe I'm wrong. I feel like I just don't know enough about this school of what the graduate programs or job placements are, or how they are graded, or how these cliques are put against each other. I feel like they have to be put against each other in some respects outside of the school, right?
I think it's a dominance thing, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, which gang is the top gang? Which gang rules the school, so to speak?
I'm confused that, or I guess confused, that Master Lin allows that mentality there. That he actually, if there are rules and he is who he is, you should not be able to kill someone in that place.
Yeah. Well, isn't that just like kind of an unspoken rule of like gangs have territories and you don't?
But I feel like he would control territories.
Well, it's just an interesting foundation to put the show on, because when you're dealing with something like this, and when I look at the show from a third person without knowing anything about it, I'm like, oh, like everyone's going to be assassins out for themselves or murderers or whatever. Like, how is this going to go? And putting the cliques into it with like the gangs from outside of the school and everything feels like, how are people actually going to learn anything or get to a point where they can graduate or get out of this class to achieve whatever Lin's agenda is if they're all just going to get murdered all the time? The only theory I've come up with is that Lin is creating his own goo. Does anyone know what GU is? So GU is a Chinese concept of taking all of the poisonous insects you can find and putting them in one container until they just keep killing each other and killing each other until one reigns on the top. So possibly Lin's agenda is to create this hodgepodge of murderers and get the strongest one and basically put them through the ropes by killing each other until he only has one person left. And that's going to be the strongest assassin who can do whatever Lin wants.
Okay. I mean, you did see, or we did see a little bit of that with the scene with the photos on the table. So I could see that a bit. However, it doesn't seem like there's a culture of trying to kill each other at that school. It really just seems like a Chico thing, but I'm not sure.
This school seems like it's been around for 3 weeks. I mean, yeah. I'm going to be honest. It doesn't seem like all the characters have that much history, but we haven't seen them really interact with each other. It's just been hazing the new guy so far.
Right.
So I hope that we get something that like brings traditions to the school, because I feel like that's what we're missing. Aside from giving their new guy that's a rat, a rat skeleton, we really haven't seen much aside from just teachers teaching them poison and then them giving laxatives to the Russian dude.
Hey.
So like, I don't know if you can speak to this at all, Veronica, but does this have a lot of world building as we move forward into the show?
I would say it's a lot of character building.
Okay.
As it goes forward. I think, I mean, and we'll obviously get to this a little bit later when we dive into the comic, but I feel like the show, at least in the pilot, was really trying to establish King's Dominion.
Mm-hmm.
And in the comic, it's very, there's a lot of adventures with characters. It's very character building, yes.
Okay. So it's the My Hero Academia of murdering people.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Which literally, if somebody, if that was the elevator pitch, I'm sold. Hey, you like My Hero Academia? Imagine if they murdered people.
They're My Villain Academia.
Yeah,
so
it's
to
just
speak.
My right. Villain Academia. I don't know. They could be heroes. They're heroes in their own story.
Did you watch the same show I just watched? They don't seem like heroes.
I mean,
maybe Willy.
That Chico guy seems like straight hero material.
Wow.
Did you see his tattoo? It had a crown with dots on it. That's just the sign of a hero.
Oh, right. Royalty, heroism, same thing.
For sure. Absolutely the same thing. Mm-hmm. Shout out to everyone in the chat. William Carr says, Darwin's theory applied to murder. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Randy De La Paz says, we need more villain stuff like Venom. I don't know if we need a villain in this show, per se. Maybe a conspiracy that they all kind of go against Lin. I'd like to see that, possibly. If Lin becomes the villain, that everyone at the school kind of has to keep stuff secret, but then actively obey the rules, but not obey the rules.
Right.
That might be fun. Mm-hmm. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say something because I think it's interesting that you're posing Lin to be a possible villain in a show full of murderers, which is like off the bat, you think, oh, they're all villains. And so it's just a very interesting dynamic of like, are they all going to be villains or do they all just have a lot of history and it's a lot of gray area?
I mean, here's the thing with Lin that we've learned. When he got his revenge, or at least how he tells the story, he took out the truck driver. He took out the person who was not doing the checks, the owner of the company. and he took out the judge. So Lynn is like, Lynn has a very broad mindset of people who are associated with the death of his wife and daughter. So, I mean, when you're looking at somebody whose mind can go that far to associate people with it, it's not really hard to think that, let's say, one mob family was associated with that. And then let's say they were associated with other mob families and everyone's kind of got red threads. And his whole thing is he's developing this master plan to kill a huge net of mobsters around the world.
Linked
to that. Like, in some way, butterfly effect to his wife and daughter dying. So if Lynn's master game is to kill all of these people and get all of these families and basically murder everyone, I'm on board.
I dig it.
I dig it. Like, if we are unveiling that throughout the seasons, so on board. Because Benedict Wong, right?
So you're saying he's not a villain, possibly, for you in your mind.
I'm saying he is a villain in the strictest sense of, from the outside, he's about to murder a whole lot of people.
Right.
But again, we're going to his ideology. And his ideology is, if the means justify the ends and people deserve to die, I mean, he's all about people deserving to die. But that's where I think that Marcus has a really important role, because Marcus is unaffiliated. So if he was going to kill everyone and he needed, like, a linchpin to pull that grenade, like, Marcus isn't affiliated with anyone. He's just a guy off the street. If anything, Marcus is going to be more affiliated with wanting to carry out Lynn's plan. But we'll get into that in predictions. I don't want to go and throw that off the top too soon. But think about it. Like, why would he bring in somebody to the fold that has nothing to do with mobsters at all? Unless we're going to discover that his parents were, like, mobsters and he just never knew about it. And maybe the granny was thrown from the building and didn't jump.
But Marcus is on the run. That would just make it like 10 times worse.
Conspiracy.
Right?
Like, he's already had a crap life.
I mean, what if Wong threw the schizophrenic old lady from the building to hit his parents? You never know. I mean, I always keep an open mind to all these conspiracy theories and shows like this. It's fun.
He definitely has an agenda that's bigger than caring about them finding their killer voice.
And he seems like a patient guy. I'm gonna do this now when he's a kid. I'm gonna wait a couple years and then he's mine.
You know who else are patient people? Our fans.
Yeah.
And you know what our fans should do?
They should definitely subscribe, shouldn't they?
They should.
I think so.
And like. Exactly. Hey, After Buzzers, did you know that our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows? From reality TV, sci-fi, like this one right here, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve you. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels, because by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you will help us continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional, so you can turn those right off. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. We've brought it up early. My Hero Academia, there's an animation channel, and if you're into that, you should go check it out. Let us know you did subscribe in the comments and we will thank you on air. We absolutely love giving shout outs as much as we can. And so for right now, thanks for being the best fans, and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Hell yeah. And now seems like a perfect time to jump into our news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
I feel like there's so much more we could talk about with the episode, but at the same time, it's like a pilot. Like, it's all introductions and everyone's watched it. So if there's anything else you guys want to talk about, mention it at predictions and we'll make sure we get to it. But Raven, I believe you have some news and gossip for us. What do we got?
I have a little bit of news, some interesting information that I learned about the show, and it kind of comes up in our conversations. But when the writer-creator was pitching the show, he had one condition. And his condition was that he stay heavily involved with the show.
Thank God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what we have right now is a creator who's also the lead writer and the showrunner of the show. So he's there. He's working 80 hours plus a week. He did not want the characters to lose their integrity. So we're watching. You know how sometimes you watch a movie.
Let's just say Robert Kirkman not being involved in The Walking Dead was fairly terrible for The Walking Dead.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now, in this case, we'll get to see it unfold. We'll get to see how, not to mention, let me mention this, I'm sorry, he's still writing the comics. So at the same time that he's writing the comics, which is far ahead of the television series, he has to continue to write the television series as well. So I think that's really cool. And he's kind of living in both worlds at the same time without getting them mixed. So I look forward to seeing how this progresses with having him as a showrunner.
That's dope. I really like that. And I hope that if he ever decides to step away from the show, they end it rather than just put other people involved and just massacre the ending. Like Dexter, as people in the chat are mentioning, which I covered the after show for that in the last two seasons of that show, were absolutely terrible. Sorry, guys.
No, you're good.
Let's move on to our special segment before we get into predictions. Comic Corner with Veronica Valencia. Comics. Cool. So Veronica's going to tell us a little bit about how the pilot reflects the novel.
Definitely. So for the most part, I can definitely say it's good news, as we had mentioned, the fact that Rick Remender, the creator of the series, is a lead writer on the show is great, because it means it can stay very authentic, and I can say that that is definitely what's going on. Obviously, the comic moves quicker. I think the show will spend a little bit more time developing characters and kind of giving the audience a view on, like, the world of who, you know, these, I guess, cliques are, like who the Satovatos are and who's the First World Ordo and the Kuroki Syndicate. And it's definitely going to play a little bit more into King's Dominion and give us a little bit more of that character building and world building, because there's just a whole lot of wild stuff that goes on in the comics, let me tell you. So I think it's going to stay very accurate. Not super, super accurate, because then this would be an HBO show.
Oh, is it that dark? Is it that
it's
bloody?
It's that dark, yes. This is not too much of a spoiler, but something that's great about this comic, and I think that is going to be great about the show and also what would make it an important show, is the fact that this cast is so diverse. We have a diverse cast. This comic deals a lot with mental health, which I think is very important in this world of people trying to not feel like it is a stigma. It deals a lot with that. It deals a lot with just all these other kinds of issues. It's very interesting, is what I'll say.
Got it. Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Let's just say I think sci-fi is going darker now. Mm-hmm. I think they're willing to push the envelope a little bit with this, so I'm really excited to see what they do with it. From the pilot and to where it goes in the graphic novel, how does it compare in terms of goriness and how in terms of, like, darkness? Is the novel a lot darker than the pilot area? It is. Okay.
It's definitely a lot darker.
Backstory is the same, though.
Backstories, yes. They're the same. There might be like a little tweaking here and there, but Marcus's backstory is completely the same. And the thing that I love about what this show did is that it is taking the art style directly from the panels and putting it into the show. Like the little animation sequence we saw with Marcus's backstory was the animation in the comic. And I thought that was brilliant. So even if you're not reading the comic, just know that that's what it is, and mad appreciation and respect.
Has reading the comic ruined the show for you, or do you think that it is an addition that is great to do as well?
I think it's an additional medium that I'm very happy we get to have.
Cool. All right. Who's excited to read the comics now?
I am.
I feel like you just got peer pressured into it. Angela. I was like, I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, I read through a little bit beforehand.
Okay. I will definitely give a warning. There are some very graphic moments that some people might not be into, where they're like, okay, this just got a little too wild for me.
Hashtag trigger warning.
Sure.
Great. Let's move into predictions. So I've basically been doing my crazy sci-fi conspiracy theory dumb guy brain throughout this thing. So I want to know what you guys think is going to happen. List like the three main things you think are coming. You can go first, Angelica. Obviously, Veronica knows a little bit too much.
And I'm like, I mean, I could technically still get some predictions, but I have to, like, filter me.
Yeah, just assume the show will branch away maybe from the source book.
Just a bit.
So my predictions are definitely that Lynn is going to serve as sort of a guiding character. He's going to be sort of that sage character. And what's going to happen is maybe he'll end up as a villain in the end, towards the end of the season. I don't know. I still don't think we quite have a villain character. I think they're going to let themselves be known, but perhaps we'll see Marcus sort of take a really, really dark turn. We've already seen a little bit of that towards the end of this episode.
Hey, I mean, he only took a wooden plank to somebody's face, so I don't think it's that dark.
Well, it was Rory, so sorry, Rory.
Womp womp. Womp. Raven, you're new to this genre.
Yes.
What do we think's going on?
I think Master Lin is the villain.
Okay.
I think his agenda is completely about himself and not about the kids, and Marcus won't be able to handle it. I think Marcus will become kind of the hero, kind of the, you know, speaking for the people, I guess, if you okay. will, and they'll follow him.
I think the chip on Marcus means something that we don't know about yet, but I think it kind of means that he's who Lin is targeting to be his own minion. Because I feel like in a place where there's the Yakuza, the CIA, the FBI, and everything, Lin is kind of left to the sidelines without anyone. And I think he's trying to bring people in the fold. So Saya, maybe, even though she's Japanese, may be related to him in some way. Because, again, his other daughter was Naya. I just kind of have a feeling that, like, he's not good at non-rhyming names. And he just, that's what I have a feeling for. But, yeah, I think that the reason that Lin, Marcus was brought in, because he's unaffiliated. And as much as that makes him a rat, it also makes him extremely valuable to whoever gets him. And I feel like our recruitment drive is going to start – people are going to start giving him enticing offers to kind of be on their side once Chico's out of the way. And I think Maria is totally lying. I don't think she's into him at all. It's all a means to an end. Can't trust them.
I think she's into him.
Can't trust them. I ship it, but you can't make a ship name for Marcus and Maria because it's already M-A-R.
Mm. Right.
So what's the hashtag?
Mariarchus.
Mariarchus. I'll go with Mariarchus. Hashtag Mariarchus.
That was terrible. My goodness.
I love it.
Thanks for indulging me a little bit.
I dig it. Well, thank you so much for everyone for tuning in. This has been the pilot episode of the Deadly Class After Show. We're going to be doing more watch-alongs throughout the season. Not sure if it's going to be on a weekly basis or not, but this is your panel. If you want to follow us, there is social media stuff that you can follow us on, and there's other after shows. Veronica, why don't you tell the lovely folks at home where they can find you to murder you?
Well, that's a little dark. How about not that? But if you want
to class.
But if you want to see cute pictures of dogs, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at @itsmeveronica_v. You can also catch me on the Good Doctor After Show Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, I'm gonna not throw to people that way anymore. I think that's probably not a good.
Yeah, thing. I felt whoa. I thought I'm on this side of the table.
Too dark. We took it too dark.
Too dark. Where can we find you, Angelica?
So I'm Angelica Trey. You can find me on Twitter at A-Trey, A-Y-Y-T-R-A-E, Twitch A-Trey as well, and Instagram at Angelica Trey.
Cool. And Raven?
You can find me on all social media platforms at Raven French.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux. And guess what, guys? If you hit that like and share this and tag the actors, make them aware of the show and they're more likely to come on. So if you want to see us talk to them, you better do that for us. We're also going to reach out to them too. So please hit that like and share. Hit that subscribe button and tune in every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If there's a change, which I think there's a few scheduling changes we have to make, we will let you know for sure on our Twitter account. So that's another reason to follow us. And then next week, there's going to be an iTunes Apple Podcasts link you can go to that we'll tweet out that if you give us a review, we will read it out on the show and give you a shout out on the show, which boosts your social media too. Maybe reveals you to some of your enemies in the Deadly Class. But anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. And we will see you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.